With me today has been Ben Huber, who is the program director for our beloved Damascus here in the diocese. First, like the role of your parents, I was really struck, like the honor that you get. Now, we're always supposed to honor our parents, you know, even if maybe they're not a stellar model, but it sounds like you had really good parents and really good model.
Yeah.
As you approach marriage and, you know, one day having your own children, you know, what are the little ways that your parents kind of reinforced the faith or told the story to you that you're going to try to do with your own children?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So to talk a little bit more about those two, you know, my dad was very faithful. And so that faithfulness never left. He was very unwavering, if you will. And so my dad spoke very minimally, but I think he spoke very boldly with his actions and how he like served me as his son. And so it was really big for me to see how my dad was provider. You know, let's take that in correlation to Father God and how he is provider. My dad is servant. Okay. Like, I'm called to be the servant as well, too, as another person of Christ. Like, I'm called to be the servant for any missionary component of my life that the Lord calls me to. Provider and servant and just his faithfulness were really big witnesses. He wasn't the best teacher. He wasn't the best formator. But those witnesses and examples are huge for me to actually like knowing God. And then with my mother, she was huge on the basis of she was something that I could like talk to. And so my mom really carried the faith, really spoke to the faith more, really brought it out of me, I would say, as well, too. And I think it was beautiful to see that the foundation, but how we're just like reaping such fruit from our foundational relationship in our childhood today. And so I just like when I come home specifically, I just love pouring into my mom and sharing like God's doing this, he's doing that, he's speaking to me here. And it's just the most fun conversation because there is a there's a giving and receiving of heart. My mom and I have very like hearts. I would say I'm more like my mom than my dad, but there's virtue and discipline that my dad carries that I carry out today. And so the combination of those two, man and woman, you know, making up the divine image, it's so beautiful to see that. And I think, you know, going into, I'd love to continue to carry those aspects of my father. I'd love to carry those aspects of my mom of being able to be heart to heart, of being able to share and to give and receive and love and just like meet the other where they're at. So the consistency, they were both consistent as far as like our, you know, our what we do and how we pray. And those are the witnesses that I kind of pulled out of both of them. And I think I desire as a future father, or the hope to be a future father, to emulate my mother in such a way that I am actually pastoring my sons and daughters someday. And that I'm also modeling on behalf of my dad, though, that virtue and that discipline in my life.
Did your parents have, I mean, they were just raised really as really good Catholics, or did they have their own amazing conversion story?
So I would say that since I became a missionary with Damascus, they've been going through an ongoing conversion process, that their faithfulness, and I see this in their generation, if you will, their faithfulness and devotion was more specific to like this is what we do versus who we are. But I believe there was aspects of who we are that they modeled really, really well. So there is this understanding that there is this certain fear and wonder and awe of God that I'm going to say that my parents or my parents' generation kind of lived in more versus this like, wow, I have a father who loves me and desires me just to know me just as I am, that I have a savior who came down just to meet me and to show me the living image of the Father's love for me.
Yeah.
And that I have this Holy Spirit that I get to live in friendship with each and every day that builds me up so that I can go and be his disciple on mission. So
yeah, and I think to that point, I'm a big fan of wonder and awe.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, you know, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think when we hear wonder and awe or fear of the Lord, which is sort of the synonym for it,
yes,
we think, and it may be that we think God is distant and, you know, almighty and awesome, awe-inspiring, and we just look at him from afar. But when we witness him in our life like you have,
yes,
that's wonder and awe. You know, like, that's real wonder and awe. Like, it's one thing to look at the Statue of Liberty from Manhattan. It's another thing to look at the Statue of Liberty from the toes of the Statue of Liberty looking up. You know, and I think, talk about wonder and awe, you know.
Yeah, but, amen.
So, anyway, you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me is Ben Huber. So, you know, it's great to hear about your parents. Now, in your conversion story, what kind of struck me was your experience at NCYC and your first confession. So when I was in high school and, you know, I had, you know, I'd been raised Catholic, but I did not really know the faith. So I went to the diocesan youth rally. And there I had my first confession. Praise God. I was in the eighth grade, you know, ninth grade, and made my first confession. And of course, you know, when I looked back, you know, and I remember the mercy of the Lord and kind of the relief of the Lord, you know, the peace of the Lord from that. But I also, when I think of that youth rally, how ridiculous it was, like it was very silly. You know, like there was some boomer woman who was dancing, interpreting the gospel.
Oh, my goodness.
And
you're not wounded from that, Father, are you?
Well, you know, like that's the miracle is that somehow I did not just like laugh at the church and walk away. You know, ridiculous it all was. Yes. And it ended with a dance, which was not, you know, was not well chaperoned to say the least.
Okay.
But,
okay.
You know, but. But still in the midst of that, very bizarre. And, you know, NCYC is a pretty good event. I've never been to it, but it's a pretty good event. But nonetheless, from that experience, you know, the Lord, like, really broke into your life.
He moves,
sacrament of confession.
Yes. And it's like, when I think about that, I think when the Lord marks us, like, or when we, by mark, I mean, when we come to know him for like the first time, like we've known him, right? We know him in the classroom. We know him in the catechesis. We know him in the beads of the rosary. But like when we come to encounter the love that he has for us in a real way, part of that marking that is bestowed upon us, I think leads us then into the call of our life. And so it, and I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this, but I think in some way when it comes to the conversion of a soul, that's actually meant to lead them into mission in some way. And so when I think about NCYC, you know, America's largest Catholic, you know, youth conference, I'm like, well, today I'm serving, you know, as part of one of the world's largest Catholic camps in the world. And I'm just so grateful for that by that encounter, today I'm serving in that capacity. I'm serving, you know, 500 youth a week of Catholic youth summer camp. I'm serving retreat after retreat after retreat in our 9-month school year, serving parishes and schools across, you know, across the state of Ohio and the diocese. And so, it's just exciting that you know, Jesus preached to the masses and he preached to the one. And so I'm grateful that I have that both and.
And, you know, it's very beautiful, that thread
of
youth ministry throughout your life. You know, you encounter the Lord at NCYC.
Yes.
You work at that camp in Iowa.
Yes.
You're in ministry at Damascus.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things, too, from your story that kind of struck me was when you were in college, your major was in education.
Yeah,
And early education, not like, you know.
Yeah.
Do you, first of all, what from your experience in college as an education major, what from that kind of helps you in your ministry now?
Yes, that's really good. I think it, first and foremost, like the gospel is across all nations, but we need to activate the gospel, the good news, in such a way that it's receivable to the middle schooler or the high schooler. So when I think about, you know, developing a curriculum or building a lesson plan educationally, I'm like, that same context is applied into a preaching message. That same context is applied, you know, curriculum is applied to the holistic experience of a middle schooler or a high schooler. Like, I'm grateful for that understanding and that backing that my education brings. And what's beautiful to see is that it came from the same heart, like this heart and desire to, I remember pursuing education, like to be a fatherly figure that nobody else, that some of those youth don't receive in middle school or high school, to be an example of faith as well too.
Excellent. Yeah. And you know, I think the thing that really struck me earlier this morning for some reason is it is very easy for us to think that, well, all we need to do is teach the truth or impose these truths.
Yes.
And that, and you know, it might be in the context of faith, but it might be in a whole lot of other things. Is here are these truths, these values, these ideas.
Yes.
Take them, but it's not sufficient.
No, it's not. And our Pope in the early 1900s, I forget which Pope it was, but. And I'm going to paraphrase this, that we need not just teachers of faith, but
Paul VI,
we need witnesses of faith. And I think, you know, when you think about, you know, our day and generation, when it comes to new ardors and new methods of preaching the gospel, when it comes to evangelization,